And since Michael Ovitz has joined, between Joe Roth and Michael, big spenders, we are spending $80 million a year on talent deals. We should spend maybe $8 million or $18 million. You can see what a great problem we have. Of course, the one problem that Bob and I both have is Ovitz. He does come between the two of us. And finally, Bob simply told me Ovitz was his problem. After 2 hours of discussion, he finally admitted he did not trust Michael and gave me many examples. At any rate, I want to thank you for clearing my mind about what was going on. Not only did it help, but may have set up the future. From Iger's perspective, the meeting couldn't have gone any better. Though Eisner still barely knew Iger and had come close to firing him, he was already telling Sid Bass that Iger might be his successor. Steve Burke, for one, could tell that Iger and Eisner had bonded. "We had a really good session," Iger reported to Burke. "Michael totally understands what a problem Ovitz is." Not long after Iger's conversation with Eisner, Ovitz called Iger to say that he thought he should consider hiring John F. Kennedy Jr. to be one of the hosts of Good Morning America. "I just saw him on Oprah," Ovitz said, "and he was great." Iger was a friend of the Kennedys. They and their wives socialized from time to time, both in New York and on Martha's Vineyard, and Iger doubted that Kennedy wanted to be on television. But he said he'd get a copy of the tape and check it out. Oprah's syndicated show ran on ABC, and when he called, Iger learned that the show with Kennedy hadn't aired yet. Iger called Oprah. "Were there any advance tapes available?" She said no. So Iger called Ovitz to say the show hadn't aired. Ovitz insisted he had obtained a tape. Iger concluded he was lying. Iger reported this to Eisner, who clearly relished any bad news about Ovitz. "This gives you an idea of what we're dealing with. He says he sees JFK on Oprah, and he hasn't even been on yet," Iger told him. The Kennedy incident was much repeated by Eisner and Iger as evidence of Ovitz's duplicity and untrustworthiness, both to others at the time and in later testimony. And yet it's difficult to know where the truth lies, or if their conclusions were fair. When asked about the incident years later, Ovitz had no memory of it, even that he had recommended Kennedy to Iger. Clearly there was some truth to his account, since Kennedy had taped an Oprah show. Ovitz was also a friend of Kennedy. The two had raised money together for the Municipal Arts Society founded by Jacqueline Kennedy Onassis. Ovitz speculated that he might have gotten a tape from Kennedy himself, though if so, he didn't mention it to Iger. Perhaps he saw a promotional spot for the show and confused it with the actual program. Whatever the truth of the matter, the incident in itself was trivial. But the zeal with which Ovitz's detractors seized on the matter spoke strongly to his rapidly waning stature at Disney. In May 1996, Ovitz and Eisner had dinner alone, and Ovitz couldn't contain himself. He said point blank that he disliked his job, that Eisner had undercut him at every step, that he knew Iger, Roth, and other people were going behind his back, and that Eisner did nothing to discourage it. "You put me in a position. I gave up the agency. I came to the company, and everything I did, you negated. Everything." He ticked off the failed deals and opportunities. "I don't have a job," he concluded. "Just give me..."